All right, welcome back everybody to the Slow Pitch, and today we have a special guest. And first of all, this other special guest that's here, who hasn't been on an episode for a little while, is Lane. Lane, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while. What's happening?
Yeah, it's been a busy time. We had jury duty. We got just all sorts of stuff going on.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
you're the permanent special.
Yeah,
guest.
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, and the other special guest that we have is Bob Frayer, who is a speaker. He's a trainer. What he does is he really helps companies with their sales teams and really helping them evolve and improve and business growth, essentially, right? That's what you're all about. So welcome, Bob. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Lane.
Yeah. All right. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in the future. What does the future of sales look like, in a sense? So, you know, everybody thinks that sales is always the same and it's never changing, but it's changing a lot, and it's going to be changing significantly in the near future, and it already is in that transition mode. So, you know, Bob, let's talk a little bit about where we've been before.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I think if we look back just a little bit in history, we see how the internet created a completely different playing field, where when you buy online now, it's been obviously a few years, but the salesperson's gone. There's no salesperson. The cost of a salesperson has been removed from online. We would call that back in the day, we'd call it transactional type of selling. Mm-hmm. So there's really no future there for salespeople because they've been purposefully removed. I had people come up to me during this time period and say that salespeople were going to become extinct. They were threatening that they said this to me in a threatening way.
No like, way.
You know, your life, your work is going away. And I knew that was not true, because what remains is where what we would call consultative selling, where the salesperson does play a role, is in the mix. And to the extent that they create value for their customer,
yep.
How do they do that? And so the future of sales, it's not a future prediction. It's already happening now. We're you know this, Rob, every day you're in this,
yep.
Right? Where salespeople, first of all, every salespeople on earth will tell you with any history that it's changed dramatically, just like your opening.
No
right?
question.
And so it's going to, where is it headed? What's coming is more value created by salespeople. And that's also where typically or commonly, particularly in the future, they will be commission paid. So that is a job that also usually has some kind of incentive beyond salary for those jobs. Those people that have those consultative advisory skills and know how to position it with their clients should make more money than everybody else, because it's difficult. And you bring a customer to the table, you get paid for that. That's revenue building.
Yep.
So those jobs are where opportunities are for effective salespeople.
Yep. That's interesting, because to me, what I'm also hearing is that you've got these younger people out there that seem to think everything just happens. They don't need to talk to anybody. They don't want to talk to anybody. And so what you're saying is they're going to basically change the way that sales is happening if they maintain that transactional style, right? But the ones that want to make
there's very little opportunity.
Yeah, the ones that want to make a lot of money are going to be doing which is something that's been happening for a while, is this transition over to consultative selling. And so let's get into
on for a very long time. It's definitely in our futures where the opportunities lie for people who are in sales and are willing to learn. They may have to learn new products, which is altogether possible. So this consultative role comes with them having knowledge of their product, perhaps, or their industry, or even more importantly, their knowledge of their client. What's going on with the client and how are we bringing value? You do this, Rob, right? Yeah. You're a value-added seller. Right?
No question.
Anybody can sell video services, but look what you guys do.
Right.
And you are a perfect example of what I'm talking about. And it's high level skills also, right? You know this.
Well, and what I've noticed is out in the normal world out there, what's happening is you've got the traditional salesperson, which is push, 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 try to get a sale, try to get, you know, close, 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 you know, always try to get them to, you know, buy. You, why are you not buying? There's, this is going to expire. You, it, all the urgency things. You got this other group that's like, I don't really want to talk to anybody. Let's just make it automated. And that's fine. Right. It's fine for some things. And I think, right. But then, in fact, I was listening to a podcast earlier today, and it was called Built to Sell. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but basically, basically the whole premise of that show is, hey, build something so that you can sell it off. And the person that was talking had developed an idea or a concept, went to sell that, got somebody to invest and buy a whole bunch of it, right? But then they said, we also have this other service. And it's kind of one of these things that's an automated system, and they don't have to do any, there's no personal involvement. And they sold, they upsold that as well. His upsell helped a lot. What he ran into was a little bit of a problem selling it to the general public without having that interaction with somebody to explain what it is and understand. So to me, that whole transition to consultative selling is a big deal for those of you that are trying to just make it automated. It's okay. You can do that with some things.
Well, there's a market for that. Yeah. It's billions of dollars worth of right. Yesterday, Rob, I'll announce it. I'll announce what I did yesterday on your show for the first time. Yesterday, I bought a new set of golf clubs.
What? No, come on, you don't golf.
And I have to compete with younger people more and more. So I upgraded my equipment yesterday.
Because we all know it's the equipment that's the problem, right?
Okay. Right. Correct. Correct. And there may or may not be the word senior in my new equipment also.
But I
ran into, fortunately, a value-added seller.
Yes.
That in a store that doesn't have them, that they're usually much more transactional. There's a store in our community that sells golf equipment. This guy, I knew, he fit me perfectly for these clubs. Yep. And I told him that I bought them at this time. This is a couple of car payments investment.
Yeah,
I'm talking big money here, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking
they're not cheap.
Serious sale.
They're not cheap.
He brought value to the table in fitting me.
Yep.
And what he brought to that sale was worth a great deal.
Yeah, I believe that. And so that's the difference between transactional and consultative, because
correct.
You end up with somebody who's going to walk you through what it is you need and help you understand what you're buying. But more importantly, it's your decisions too, right? They didn't say you need this. No, hit this club. Now let's hit this club. Let's see what your swing speed is. Let's see how this is. Let's see all those.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden the next thing you know, like, this one kind of fits your profile. Why don't you try these? And you're like, oh, these are fantastic. Right?
That's exactly what happened. Have you done this before? You must have done. This is why I need this equipment for people like you.
You got to keep up with us, right? Yeah.
I found a consultative salesperson in a transactional sale, and it made all the difference.
Definitely.
Is there something that has happened within the past X number of years, just in general, that has caused this change in how sales needs to happen?
Well, not only if you think we've just been through a pandemic, Lane, and that was pretty remarkable.
Lane didn't even notice. Didn't even notice.
Pandemic? What are you talking about?
We missed the pandemic. So, Lane,
I'm a hermit. So,
think about the pandemic effects on salespeople. It's been, the world is turned upside down. The future, as it's turning, we are facing enormous opportunities and all kinds of things where a salesperson understands they're the value differentiator. They're bringing value, and if they do, that's a high paying job.
Yes.
Now, the big thing about this is Rob, and you're another good example. To become an expert at something, we have to put many, many hours into learning often in these. How many hours you got, Rob, in the learning about the video?
I don't
business?
Even know. It's been too long.
Lane, what you do for a living, how many hours you've got in learning it?
It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
10,000 hours, 10,000 hours to become an expert. So the opportunity may require work that you may, for example, find a product that you need to learn about that you don't currently know about. Any kind of software is a great example, right? Where you may have to learn the product, and that's part of what we're talking about, right? And that earns you high income. If it's the right circumstances.
Lane, did you have another question?
What skills do you think are necessary for this transition?
Well, if you think about it, many salespeople have to work independently, right? They've got to get up in the morning and they don't have a clock to punch, figuratively or literally. So people that can do this and can take advantage of these coming jobs are going to have to manage their own time really, really well.
Yeah.
Rob,
yes.
Right? Oh. You wake up in the morning.
You could very easily, as a salesperson, if you don't manage your time, you could end up just, oh, I'm researching. I'm just doing this. I'm just all this garbage that doesn't get you in front of people, right? I mean, how many times I'm sure anybody that's listening, how many times have you realized, oh, it's lunchtime already and I haven't made a single call? That is bad.
Or anything that would get me to a call. So time management, being able to be results oriented on your own, you have to create your own initiative here, Rob. And I think the way, and that's time. If you can't do that, you're going to stay on the couch for a little while longer. Yes. If you can't do that, you don't get this opportunity because you have to bring that to the table. You also have to know how to present well. So Rob, Lane, to answer your question, the future high-paid salesperson are going to be good presenters, public speaking, group work, and now virtual. They've got to be able to come across in audio and on video, like this platform and others. Lots of virtual selling going on, everybody. Lots of it. And if you can play in that on that field, that is a skill that you need to have.
Yep.
You also have to be an extremely good listener. And you have to be able to read people and what one of my clients says, reading between the lines of people. You also have to, Rob, we were talking about, you have to confirm, but you have to do it in a relationship. You can't, it's not a hatchet. Yeah. It's a velvet glove, right?
Yes.
If this is good for you to move forward, then we have mutual win, right? So those skills, and then obviously someone that can negotiate all of what I just said is a high level skill.
Yep.
And Rob, I'm looking at a perfect example of one. You're a value-added seller, right?
There's a lot to be said. You know, the velvet glove comment is probably dead on, right? It's a very fine touch that it takes for people to feel comfortable opening up to talk about their problems, right? And once you get past that point, now it's, all right, well, let's see what our possible options are here. And let's talk through that, just like the golf guy did, right? Or a golf person.
Yeah.
It's the same idea, right? You have to walk people through that, allow them to make some decisions. And, you know, my favorite, I hate to say this, but my favorite thing to do is when somebody asks you a question, don't answer them. Like, just literally, what do you want?
You don't have to answer every question.
No, yeah. Right? Just like, wait, why are you asking that question right now? You know, and all of a sudden you find out, oh, well, they're trying to make a decision before tomorrow because this is going to cost this much more because they're waiting another day, or they have no timeline whatsoever. And you could be wasting your time for 3, 4, 5, 6 months. Who knows? I'm going to stop this conversation right now. If you're finding value in any one of our episodes, we want you to share it with somebody else. Just tell somebody, hey, go listen to these guys. This has been good. Second, give us a review. Tell us what you think. And the third thing, hit that subscribe button so that you always get updated every time we release an episode.
We'd really appreciate it. Now back to the show.
So yesterday, I knew I was buying a new set of clubs because of the questions that Mike asked me. He asked me about the way I play golf. And he said to me, I don't want you to buy these clubs today. What I want you to do is go get your 7-iron and bring it in next time. We'll put you in the software and we'll measure, you know the drill, right, Rob? They're building these clubs for me. And when he got there and he was advising me of what to do so that this purchase is correct for me, he said, I'm not making any more money on this, but I really want you to have the right clubs. He said, I will fit you perfectly.
Yep.
I knew when he was talking like that, Rob, I was buying clubs.
Yep. And you had no choice and there was nothing you were going to do about it.
It came off and I sold myself.
Yes.
He didn't close me. I closed myself.
Yes.
I gave off. I went from procrastinating making this decision to it's happening.
It's happening now.
And it was because of him.
Yes.
I put this decision off. I see you got clubs. Are those clubs in the background over there? So this is why I need this stuff, because, you know, I got to compete
better.
And I told him, I embarrassed him a little bit. It was just him and I said, I'm buying these clubs because of your extra value.
Yep. I think that is exactly what ends up happening. And, you know, there's other scenarios like that too. I mean, think about it. If you walk into a doctor's office, you don't feel quite right. You walk into a doctor's office and the doctor says, well, let's just do an X-ray and let's check this and let's check that.
And
they don't make any decisions. And all of a sudden it's like, all right, your X-ray doesn't look so good. We think we need to do this. And, you know, it's going to be $7,000. Yeah, it's going to be $7,000. Do you say no? No, you're going to do it because you go, okay, this is the problem. He's diagnosed me and this is what we're going to do. And you make that decision kind of together. Same idea.
So, Rob, what are their video needs? What are their video needs? What do they want to accomplish with a new video?
Yeah, exactly.
What would that look like?
Yeah, well, totally.
Tell me about it.
It's totally the same thing, right? So, like, where are you using it? Why are you using it? What do you hope happens when you get to the end? You have this in hand. What is it going to do for you? And what you end up finding out is simple things. Like, listen, I'm looking to put this on my website so that people understand what we're doing and then make the phone call. And every phone call I get, when I get seven phone calls, by the seventh one, I've got a good solid lead. They understand who I am. And then when I find all this stuff out, right? And you work them right on through to the point of every sale is a $15,000 sale. Well, okay, so if you spent $10,000 on a video, not a big deal, right? So whatever the case might be, that's really what ends up happening is the more you learn about
this. Rob's the sales whisperer. You see,
oh, totally.
You can see it in motion. You're a model of what we're talking about, right? And your product that you have lends itself to a value add from you and Jen and your company and the whole thing. But
listen,
right?
I think the other thing to always remember as a salesperson is your job is not to take people's money unless it's going to help them. I can't tell you how many times I've turned work down where they've come to me. In fact, I've got an email today. It's a crazy email. I'm looking to do this. And I read the email. I replied back, I'm sorry, I'm confused as to what you're asking me. Can we chat real quick? And when I get on the phone I get on the phone with the guy, he's explaining something that makes no sense. You're going to put money into this that's going to make you no money. You're doing this.
And you go, stop, slow down. That's the slow pitch. Lane, it's almost, we use the expression and to describe this as it's a NASCAR expression where you need to slow down in NASCAR, slow it down purposefully so you can speed up in the straightaways, right? So it's counterintuitive what you're talking about, Rob, what you're perfectly describing. Salespeople want to go, go, go. But what you're doing is slowing it down, slow down, get control of it and manage the sales process.
Yep.
And so to summarize what we're talking about, if people develop those skills, and I believe those skills are not born in someone, it helps if it is.
Yeah, but I don't know anybody who's
natural ability.
I don't know anybody.
This is a learned process.
Totally.
And 2023 and beyond, there are big opportunities for people in sales roles that see themselves as their clients' advocates.
Totally agree.
Yep.
Here's a question for you. How important is it for a salesperson who's maybe a little newer or has been around for a little while? How important is it to know all the technical details of that product? If it's a manufacturer, let's say, how important is that?
Well, the answer is that it depends on what the customer needs. Or to your question, the salesperson has to have a working knowledge of what's going on. How does this product help the client? Yeah. That's what the salesperson needs to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're dead on in what you're saying. And that, you know, what it really comes down to for a salesperson is they got to know enough so that they can answer the question. And if it comes to that, right. But when somebody says, well, the specs need to be this to this, or these particular measurements, numbers, whatever they are. And if that's truly what they need to have, and the salesperson can say, well, yeah, that is within, but you wouldn't need to go any larger or smaller or wider or whatever. Like, you need to know that question, right? As a salesperson, but do you need to know that, you know, it's kind of like when Jen talks to me sometimes and I'm giving her, here's some information. And she says, you know, I just ask what time it is. I don't need to know how the watch is made. right? That's really what it comes down to. Yeah. For a salesperson, it's the same idea. It's asking a lot of questions back and understanding, and then getting to that point where they're like, okay, we're close enough. Let's get a little specs together if you need to bring in somebody you can.
Yeah. So what's the message? This person, this salesperson in front of the client is bringing enough value, right? What is it? But it's also true. Mike, the guy who sold me those golf clubs, it was in the questions he asked me. I knew it when he was asking me about my golf swing and was interested in my answer.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He said, we're going to build this for you.
And he was genuine, right? Okay. I bet he was genuine.
Completely. I thought it was, and I still do. Yeah. And it wasn't, he was genuinely interested in getting me the very best product. Yeah. And I knew he was going to, because I was going
to
help
him. Yeah. To me too, listen to what Bob just said too. He said, I felt like he was genuine. To this day, I still feel like he's genuine. So even if as soon as Bob left, he went to the back room and high-fived someone and got another sucker, right?
Yep.
That could have happened. But Bob doesn't know that. I highly doubt it because he cares. And
I don't think it did. And in some ways, it's none of my business. I'm not evaluating him as a person. I'm just telling you what as a customer.
That's the key.
That value add piece is very compelling. And again, if people can bring this to this high value, they should get paid more for it. That's what commission is for.
Yep.
Where it's very common and will be in the future jobs where, because of the motivation problem that we have with our post-pandemic blues that people have, Lane, that to put more incentive and to motivate people, we're going to see more spins or VIGs, as my Italian uncle calls it, a little extra juice. Yep. And they're called commission. It's called commission, where you get a little piece of the field, right? And you should make more. Those should be the highest paying jobs when you think about it.
I agree.
So let me ask you a question. So the younger generation that's coming up now, that they're just staring at their phones all the time. How does this really apply to them? I feel like this generation is more into going to a website, reading about something rather than being sold.
Well, if you're under 40 years old or under 45 years old, for that matter, you grew up in a digital world. You were born into a digital world, Lane. So every generation that I've ever known in my life have been suspect of the next generation. I wouldn't worry too much about it. I've met some really smart Gen Xers. And when you teach them these skills we're talking about, they already have the technical part. When somebody is good at what we're talking about and they can be adept digitally, you've got a high earner on your hands.
No, I'm thinking more along the lines of the younger generation that they are the buyers. How does this process work better for selling to them?
Yeah, if the sale is transactional, it's transactional. There's nothing you can do about it because people are researching their own information and coming up and picking what they want. And in that instance, the salesperson's gone. They took the salesperson out. They're not paying a salesperson, right? So those are not opportunities for people who have sales skills, right? What we need to find is opportunities that are not transactional is kind of what I'm saying. Yes. There's a big world out there. Pay attention to everywhere you go and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and I think, Lane, I think what you're asking too is like, if you're a younger person who's always on the phone, just wants to have a transaction, but they encounter somebody who wants to have a consultative sale process, there's a conflict there. And that is true. I've had that where I've had a younger person today email me and they're like, just give me an answer. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. I can't give you an answer. I could try. Here's a number for you. It's between $1,500 and $25,000. Which one do you want? Yeah, I can do whatever you want. I don't know.
It's a premature price question. And Lane, it's possible you might not have a buyer there. Rob, you might not have a buyer there.
More than likely.
Right. And so if you beat your head up against the wall trying to sell that person and they want to, they're controlling the way it's bought. You could get poor doing that real quick. So you have to think differently. And it's difficult for people under 40 that were born into a digital world, right? We, being a little older, can see a contrast. I'm old enough to, I was there when this happened. And many, many people, I have a client right now, the average age of the people that work for this client is about 30 years old. they're all, they don't have these skills. Yeah. They don't have these soft skills that we're talking about. They have to learn them, and they can, is the one of the points I would like to make. This is learnable.
Oh, all of it.
We all had to learn these. Where'd you learn the soft skills? Many people, there's a lot, we can talk a lot about this, but soft skills have been learned in the family lane, sitting around a dinner table, yakking away with your family. And soft skills, I had to learn how to negotiate with my family because I was a middle child, and I found out how to act to get what I wanted. And in those family unit, I don't want to get too deep in it, are gone. They're not there anymore. And so where do people get their soft skills? They're not getting them in high school. They're not getting them in college. And so where do they have to get them? The companies now have to teach people these skills. That's the work that I do with companies. And it's really a cool conversation, Lane. It's not a dead end. It's an opportunity. And we can learn those things that we need in a world that values greater contribution by a salesperson.
Yep.
Really good question, Lane. Really good question.
That's first time this year. It's December. All right. So Bob, first of all, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate you being on. The information you gave us was really good. I think, you know, we talked about transactional versus a consultative, and then some of the skills that you need. And, you know, Lane asked some good questions. To me, I think anybody listening would find this to be valuable. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Yeah, my email address, very, very simple, bob@bobfrare.com, real easy, F-R-A-R-E. And happy to talk to anybody that wants to talk about this. It's all good.
Yeah, it's no worries. And so I will also put your email and contact information into the show notes. So if somebody, you know, has their phone and they can click that, they can email you directly right from their phone. Just know that if you call or email Bob, you reach out to Bob. Bob's probably going to slow things down a little bit before he gets you to say yes. He's going to ask you if you golf. Right. And get you into the clubs.
Right. We're trying to help everybody we can. Right.
All right. So with that, just, you know, as we close it down, I appreciate it for coming on. I'm glad Lane was able to make it back on the show this time. So I appreciate that. And until the next time, though, just remember, slow down because you will close more.
Thank you for listening to The Slow Pitch. Do you have a question about sales? Call or text your question at 608-708-SLOW. That's 608-708-7569. Or you can email them to questions@theslowpitch.com. Slow down and close more.
Thanks as always for listening today. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Slow Pitch. We were mixed today, as always, by Johnny Palakis, and we were produced by High Gravity Studios. Music credits and other notes are in the show notes section on theslowpitch.com, and we'll be back with another episode soon.